You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The practice of uplifting newborn children from their mothers by Oranga Tamariki has come under intense scrutiny in recent weeks following a number of exposés into the practice. Māori mothers are disproportionately affected by this practice, with 2 to 3 children being taken away from their mothers each week. The Office of the Children's Commissioner is launching a review into the practice and into Oranga Tamariki more widely. I spoke with Children's Commissioner Andrew Beecroft about the review, first asking him what sparked it.
Well, what sparked it actually was a series of concerns that had been raised with us regarding the removal of babies, really at birth, from their mothers. And we had been concerned for a couple of weeks, and then the Hastings matter hit the headlines as well. So fundamentally what sparked it was a series of concerns about baby uplifts against what will be a whole new backdrop for Oranga Tamariki from 1 July this year. Legislation changes too. So it's a way of saying, are we being true to the legislative vision?
What legislation changes are these?
I take effect 1 July, they're on the Oranga Tamariki Act. It really is changing what was a model of reaction SOS ambulance at the bottom of the cliff to a model of proactive preventive intervention. And I don't think many in the public know that's coming. That is the new, I guess, paradigm for Oranga Tamariki. It arose out of the Revstock report. It's already been 2 years in the planning, but as at 1 July, it kicks into force. And to use language that a judge doesn't often use, it is a revolution, and nothing short of a revolution is required.
So this sort of change, has this been in the works for a while?
Yeah, the legislation was passed about 18 months to 2 years ago. It arose out of the expert advisory group's analysis of the old Child, Youth and Family Service, commissioned by the then Minister Tolley, passed into legislation with effect from 1 July in 2 weeks' time.
And up until the recent sort of events that have occurred and been in the media, was your office aware of just exactly how this practice of uplifting was being carried out?
To be honest, we weren't aware of some of the details. And in fact, the stats would show that in the last 3 to 4 years or so, uplifts of Māori infants have gone from 2 per week to 3 per week. That's only become clear pretty recently. What our review, I hope, will establish is how widespread this sort of practice is, what planning is going in beforehand, iwi being involved up front, NGOs and trusted community groups being enlisted for early intervention and help, and, for instance, do applications to the family court need to be made ex parte, that is, without notice, without a chance for it to be argued on behalf of the mother. So these are all issues that have recently come to the fore that we want to get to the bottom of.
And just on the face of it, before you've actually carried out the review, do you have quite serious concerns about the number of especially Māori children that are being uplifted?
Yeah, I think it would be foolish to pretend otherwise, and there's significant government and community concern about the issue. I think all of us share an anxiety to ensure that the process is being done appropriately when it needs to be done, and that the process really respects dignity and mana of those involved. I speak to psychologists who say they're still counselling mothers years later after their child's been uplifted at birth. I mean, it's one of the most traumatic and coercive acts the state can undertake. And it's got to be done well, and it's got to be done when it's really necessary only, where there are significant risks, serious risks to the harm of the baby. And it's got to be preceded by the best preventive work we can manage.
And what exactly will the review involve?
Well, it will involve going to probably half a dozen Oranga Tamariki sites, it'll be looking at cases from those sites, interviewing whānau, family, wider family, where Māori, hapū and iwi, interviewing some of those involved, maybe midwives and the like, to get a sense of what happened. And also detailed interviews with Oranga Tamariki staff. We want to look at the underlying policies, we want to look at the practices, and we want to look at the processes that were involved in each case. It may take 4 to 6 months max, maybe shorter, but we want to have a really in-depth, very what might be called deep dive into what is going on, and to make some clear findings and, where necessary, recommendations, which will be public.
Do you feel there might be a bit of a gap in the legislation here, that maybe too much discretion has been given to the department on how they carry these out?
Yeah, that is a good question. Don't forget, they can only carry them out if a family court orders it. So the question is, was the right decision made in the first place to go to the family court? And then there's a question about how those orders are enforced and how they're carried out. And you can ask some legitimate questions about where's the best place to do that, at what time. I mean, ideally, when it has to happen, sadly, when it has to happen, you'd want trusted community people to have been involved for a long time in advance, so that it might be well known, it might be accepted, there might be good plans put in place, people may know exactly what's happening. That's what I look forward to.
Do you have any power to actually say to Oranga Tamariki or the government that this needs to change, you have to change this, or are you only coming in from sort of the review and then they can choose whether or not to take on any recommendations you give?
Yeah, to be honest, the latter. We have a statutory function to monitor and assess the policies and practices of Oranga Tamariki. That's what we're doing. We have a statutory function to keep aspects that the entire Act under review and make suggestions or recommendations for change. But further than that, we cannot go. Then it's up to the government of the day to make the decision. But it's an important role, and we are, to that extent, a statutory watchdog. And that's our duty.
And the legislation that comes into effect on the 1st of July, do you think this will have any effect on the practice?
I think it will, because the whole thrust of the new model is a preventive early intervention model. See, the old SIFs were somewhat hamstrung with legislation that restricted their involvement until there was an actual need or serious risk of removal due to serious risk to the baby and child involved. Now, it's very clear that when that might happen, when there's a risk of that happening, when Oranga Tamariki knows down the track it could happen, they've got to get involved, provide early support, assistance and wraparound services. That's a complete change. I don't think, as I've said, New Zealand knows how big a change that is, or that they knew it was coming into force on 1 July. But really, it's turning the whole model from, I guess, a rescue model to a much more stop it happening in the first place model. That's a significant change.
And are you hopeful that because of the level of public outcry and the media interest that your recommendations, when they do come, will be seriously considered by the government, more so than maybe other things you've said?
Yeah, I think given that it's a hot topic, that it's excited a lot of understandable anxiety, controversy and interest, I hope that we can provide recommendations that are constructive and sensible and can be adopted.
And I mean, looking back at other recommendations you've given, how does the government have a good record of taking on board what you say?
Yeah, I've been reasonably encouraged, you know. We were strong that 17-year-olds should be included in the youth justice system. We weren't the only voice on that by any means, but we were certainly strong on that point. That happened. We issued a report that the care and protection lock-up big institutional residences should be closed. They should be subject to phased closure. That has happened. And we've made a number of recommendations regarding treatment within youth justice residences that has happened. So while we don't have any power to bring our recommendations into action, much less even power to, I guess, insist they are listened to, in practice, we are listened to, it is taken account of, and there has been significant change. I mean, the Kumara doesn't tell of its own sweetness, but I wouldn't be in the job as a watchdog if we were just barking for no effect. I mean, our barking, I hope, is constructive, and it has brought about change.
And just finally, do you think there's a chance that the government might bring in some changes before the review is done?
Oh, if they found issues that needed to be addressed and did, all power to them. I mean, I know there's an internal review being carried out of the particular case, which the minister announced yesterday.
Mm.
I see ours as complementary, looking at the system as a whole and what the practices and policies are of Oranga Tamariki. But if constructive and positive improvements are brought in, with all power to the government, we'll do our best to assist.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.